We are holding on Kufyud Tes Amud Beis, about a third of the way down the Amud line begins Me'odcha. Dorash Rav Avira Darshin as follows: Zimnin Amulei Mishmei Rav, Zimnin Amulei Mishmei Rav Ashi. Sometimes in the name of Rav, sometimes in the name of Rav Ashi. On the side over here, it brings a different girsa that sometimes in the name of Rav Ami and sometimes in the name of Rav Asi, which is usually in Shas when we have something from Rav Avira. It's usually in the name of sometimes one and sometimes the other. Which one explanation I think we mentioned before is Ben Yehoyada says that he had learned his primary Rebbe was one of them. So, but when he was in the other one's area, then he would mention the other one first for his covered. Anyway, so my dichtiv vayigdal hayeled vayigomal. What does the pasuk mean when it says when Yitzchak was born, when the child was weaned, then the child grew up, vayigdal hayeled, child grew up, vayigomal, and he was weaned, vayas Avram, and then the pasuk continues, vayas Avram mishta gadol, but Avram made a great party. So the point is that we don't just need, the point is it's not just something that happened in the past when Yitzchak got weaned. It also means, la'osid lovay, osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'osid suda la'tzadikim. In the future, Hashem is going to make a suda for the tzadikim, b'yem she'yigmol chastoy l'zareh shal Yitzchak. On the day that by yigamah, m'losh k'yigamol aloy, that Hashem is going to bestow his chesed on the descendants of Yitzchak, meaning when Mashiach comes. There's going to be the suda for the tzaddikim, the suda of the levyasim. And then after they eat and drink, then they're going to offer the cup of the to bench over to Avram Avinu. That's the connection of this to our Gemara, is because the Mishnah had talked about that the third kos you say Birkas Hamazon over. So this connects with that. So they're going to offer the cup to Avram Avinu. And he's going to tell them, I can't say the bracha, because Yishmael came out of me. Now, what's the problem with Yishmael coming out of him? Marshall explains that the first bracha of benching is about the first is about the gift of Eretz Yisrael. The second one is and Yishmael has no part in that. Even actually, the second bracha refers to bris and Torah, and those are things that Marshall doesn't. Those are things that Yishmael doesn't partake of either. So therefore, Avraham says, since Yishmael came out of me, then that means, in other words, so I have that underlying flaw in me, kind of, that doesn't relate, that doesn't relate to what we're going to be saying in benching. So therefore, I can't say it. And Omrul Omrul the Yitzchak Tolu Baruch. Then they're going to tell Yitzchak, you take it and say the bracha. And he tells them, "Eini mevarach shiyatzim and Esav." Same idea. Esav came out of me, and again, Esav has nothing to do with the bris. Be Yitzchak, ki be Yitzchak, yikare lechazara, but not kol Yitzchak. So he's going to also say that because of that we can't say the bracha about bris val bris chashachasamta sarenu that Yishmael and Esav have nothing to do with that. Next, so Oymelo the Yaakov Torah Varach, so they're going to tell Yaakov, you take it and make the bracha. And Yaakov is also going to say, "Eini mevarach, I can't say the bracha." Because I married two sisters. I married the second one while the first one was alive. Now in the future, the Torah is going to answer it. Okay, he lived before Matan Torah, and he was allowed to for various reasons, including you have many different explanations how it is that Yaakov did that anyway. If Kim will call a Torah Kula, one of them is a famous explanation from the Rebbe, that since Yaakov had promised that he's going to marry Rachel, then even in the end, he ended up marrying Leah. He ended up getting tricked into it. He had to keep his promise to Rachel, because that's to keep the other mitzvahs is a chumrah, is a personal chumrah of his. But to keep his word would be something that was required, and therefore that has to take precedence. Be that as it may, Yaakov is saying, the fact is that in the end, after Matan Torah, such a thing is going to be also, promises or not. Therefore, I can't say the bracha, which Marashah says, means, in other words, he says, I can't say the part where it thanks Hashem for giving us the Torah, because in a way, what I did was against the Torah. So he tells Moshe, you take the cup and say the bracha. And Moshe is going to say, I can't say the bracha. I did not have the schus to go into Eretz Yisrael, not while I was alive and not even after I passed away. So Maharsha explains. So therefore, the part of benching that in that same bracha where it refers to the gift of Eretz Yisrael and where it refers to the building of the Beis Hamikdash and the restoration of the Beis Hamikdash, so Moshe is saying, I'm not able to do that. So then he tells Yeshua, you take the cup and make the bracha. And he tells them, I can't make the bracha. I didn't have the schus to have any sons. And we know this because the Yeshua ben Nun, okay, that doesn't really belong in the Gemara. It says, Noin b'no Yeshua b'no. In Divrei HaYomim, when it lists the lineage of Shevet Ephraim down to Yeshua, it finishes off. The last part over there is you had Elishama ben Amihud, yesterday's Nasi. Then you have his son Noin and his son Yehoshua, and it stops there. It stops there because the Gemara explains that shows us that Yehoshua didn't have any sons, otherwise they would have been listed also. The Gemara does mention in Megillah that he had daughters, and he and Rochav had daughters together, and then he married Rochav after she was in Skyer, and eventually great Nevi'im descended from them. It says Yirmiyah and Yechezkel and a couple of other Nevi'im in that family descended from them, but that was all through one or another daughter of Yehoshua and Rochav. He didn't have any sons. And in Erevin, we learned the reason behind it is because at one point while they're getting ready to fight against Yericho, Yehoshua kept the Oren away from them, kept the Oren away from the Machna overnight. And the rule is that when it's away from its place, people are not allowed to have relations. So because of that, on his level, he was judged harshly for that, and therefore he wasn't able to mekayim piri v'rivya himself by having a son. In any case, Yeshua is saying over here that I have that chisarin, therefore I didn't have a son, and therefore, so how does that relate to benching? He's saying, therefore, so I don't have somebody who's able to build your shalayim. A son who's able to be one of the ones who builds your shalayim and builds the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, I can't say al your shalayim yirachav al habayis hakadosh v'hakadosh, etc. So he turns it down also. Then they tell David, you take the cup and say the bracha. He tells them, ani avorich, yes, I will say the bracha. And in fact, it's appropriate for me to say the bracha. As the pasuk says, I will lift up the cup of saving. This is the cup that's at this meal, celebrating the fact that Hashem saved the Jewish people from Golos, and I'll call out in the name of Hashem. In other words, the point is that since David did have the schus to build Yerushalayim, so he doesn't have any of these things that we mentioned before. He doesn't have any children who are not shayach to bris and Torah. Okay, not all of his children were what they should be, but they're all fart Jews. He's not lacking anything as far as Torah because he kept the Torah. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He lived there his whole life. Almost his whole life, and he had he himself built Yerushalayim, and his son built the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, I was zeicha to all these things. So for me, it's appropriate to make the bracha. And in fact, Maharsha goes on to explain how there's a couple of other psukim before that, that illustrate that idea also. Ma ashiv l'Hashem kol tag maloi haloi. What can I give back to Hashem for all of the beneficial things that he did for me, which means, in other words, each one of the ones we listed before is lacking one of these things that Hashem gives as to a person, but I have all of them. I have Bris and Torah and the land of Eretz Yisrael and Malchus. So therefore, for me, it's appropriate that Kosi Shoreh Sessa over Shem Hashem Ekra. So David ends up leading benching by that. There is a mimer of the Alter Rebbe in the Sidurim Dach in Shaar Birkas HaMazon that goes in great detail into this Gemara and analyzes it al Pi Kabbalah, where the idea is the cup of wine. We're not just talking about any cup of wine over here. In other places, it talks about that this wine is yain hamashuma ba'anovav misheshes mei bereshes, wine that was preserved in its grapes ever since sheshes mei bereshes, and explains over there in the mimer that refers to a level of elikus that refers to a level of a level of das of elikus that's associated with complete bittul. It's from Eitz HaChayim rather than Eitz HaDas Tovara, and now it's being brought down into malchus. So each of the other people that were saying over here, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Yeshua, each of them says that I can't be the one to associate with that very high level of Elokus because of one thing or another. Avraham and Yitzchak are concerned about, they're saying the fact is we see in the past that that Ra came out of us, so it means that now there's even now, therefore, when we bring down this very high level of Elokus, there was room before for Yenika from Chitzonim. And therefore I can't do it. Yaakov says, I married two sisters, which he goes on to explain at great length over there about what Gilui Arayis is all about, that it means an inappropriate revelation of Elokus in our world where it doesn't belong. And Yaakov is saying, therefore, because of that, Moshe is saying that I'm really beyond Eretz, that I'm beyond that whole idea of Malchus, which is why he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua, I don't think it really talks about over there. And then David says that he who embodies Malchus is the appropriate one who's able to bring down that Hamshacha, Lamaila, and bring it into the cup, and then bring it into the cup, and from that we must be out to the world. Okay. Mishnah says, Ein maftirin achar pesach afikoimon. You're not allowed to finish off after the meal, after the korban pesach, you're not allowed to finish off with afikoimon. So what that means, we're going to see in the Gemara a few different possibilities. Maftirin, Rashi and the Rashbam say, means meloshan anifter mechavere, when you're leaving the meal. So you don't finish it with afikoman as you usually might. What is afikoman? Now, of course, we use afikoman to mean the actual piece of matzah that we eat at the end, right? Sofun, but that the Gemara is going to be using it in a different sense. We'll talk about afterwards, Bez Hashem, why we call the piece the afikoman. Anyway, my afikoman, what does that mean? Rav says it means they're not allowed to move from one group to another. We learned earlier in the Masechta that we had a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether you're allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in two different places. In other words, can one person eat in one place and then move to a different place and continue eating? And the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda that you cannot. So now he can't move to a different group and eat anything over there because we're concerned that he may end up eating the Korban Pesach over there and then he'd be over on that. So afterwards, if he wants to, so the Rashbam adds, if he wants to afterwards join another group in order to say halal with them, that's fine. We learned over there also that you can go up to halal to the roof to say halal. So Rav would allow you to eat anything you want after the Korban Pesach as long as you eat it in the same place. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, so according to Rav, the word afikoman, we break it down into afiku mon, take out, afiku monaych, take out your kalim from here, and let's go eat someplace else. So Rav is saying you're not allowed to do that. You're allowed to eat as much as you want after the Korban Pesach, but you're not allowed to eat it someplace else. And because of that, we make a gzeder that you're not allowed to eat any food anywhere else, because you may come to eat the Korban Pesach anywhere else. That's Rav. Shmuel says, on the other hand, no. What it means is dessert. For example, I would usually eat mushrooms for dessert. So then we're saying on Pesach night, you're not allowed to eat that after the Korban Pesach. Or Abba, which is a name for Rav, would eat pigeons. So that kind of thing, you're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach. Therefore, according to him, afikoman means afiku mine michael, take out different kinds of food that we're going to eat afterwards. And the reason why not, there's a couple of different reasons why not, according to this, why not to eat after the Korban Pesach. One of them is that the taste of the Korban Pesach should stay in your mouth. And another one is, the Rashbam gives a reason over here, that the reason is because the Korban Pesach is supposed to eat, actually it gives two things. Number one, so the taste of the Korban Pesach doesn't leave his mouth for the whole night. And number two is because since the Korban Pesach, and to a certain extent all korbanos, is supposed to be eaten a la soiva, it's supposed to be eaten not that you eat it like when you're ravenously hungry, but only when you fill up on it. So now if you eat more after it, then you're going to end up eating it not a la soiva. Therefore, the Chachamim said you can't eat anything after it that way. You make sure to eat it a la soiva like you're supposed to. To a certain extent, then that applies to all other korbanos. But one thing is, because the korban Pesach is a, because Tosfos mentions later on, because the korban Pesach is a baby animal and therefore its bones are soft, you're much more likely to try to break them open to get out marrow. And of course, you can't do that with the korban Pesach. Therefore, more than any other korban, according to Shmuel, the Chachamim are concerned that you shouldn't eat after it. So all of that is one reason. And again, the other reason is to keep the taste of the korban Pesach in your mouth. They basically agree with Shmuel that it means not eating anything after the Korban Pesach. But they say, for example, dates or toasted grain or nuts. One thing is, the Ran points out, now we said we translated Udalaya, which is Shmuel's first thing, as mushrooms, but actually the Ran says both Udalaya and Gozlaya may be different kinds of meat. In that case, Shmuel is saying you can't eat meat after the Korban Pesach because then you may, because then you're going to lose the taste of it. But according to Shmuel, you might be allowed to eat other kinds of dessert because those don't take away the taste. And then Reb Chanina Bar Shila and Reb Yechanan would be saying no, not even those things. So the Gemara says Tanya Kabasei de Reb Yechanan. We learn a brisa like what Reb Yechanan says. Ein maftir nachar Pesach. You're not allowed to conclude the meal after the Pesach. Kegoin tomorrow kloyos vegoizim, for example, by eating dates or toasted grain or nuts. So any kind of dessert. And again, so either so you don't lose the taste of the Korban Pesach, or so you eat it a la soda. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says. So now that's all is when you have a Korban Pesach. What about when you don't have a Korban Pesach and instead you're eating matzah, there's the matzah that you eat at the beginning after motzi matzah, and then there's the matzah that you eat by tzofun. Now what we're going to be discussing a lot in the Gemara over here, we're going to be based, the Rashbam and Tosfos disagree, and you have a number of Rishonim on each side, What is the primary matzah that you're being yotze with, the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach night? Is it primarily the matzah that you eat by motzi matzah? That's how Tosfos holds. So you eat the matzah at the beginning. The matzah you're eating at the end is as a zecher for the Korban Pesach, or maybe a zecher for the matzah that they ate together with the Korban Pesach. If we hold like Hillel, which we said before, if we said a couple of blot ago, that Hillel would eat matzah and maror and Korban Pesach wrapped together. Well, they actually had a machlokas, actually, whether he would even eat the Korban Pesach in that sandwich or not. We only eat matzah and maror in it, of course. But anyway, the point is, they did eat matzah with the Korban Pesach. So Tosfos's view of the matter is that you have the matzah by Sofun at the end of the Seder is the primary matzah that you're being yotze the mitzvah of eating matzah with. All it is you can't do that, as we learned a few days ago. You can't say that you're going to make a you're going to say hamotzi and eat matzah before and not say alachilas matzah and eat a large amount of matzah. They'll eat a kezayis, and then later on we're going to say that later on you're going to eat matzah and then make bracha and be yotze with it. That wouldn't be right. You already filled up on it before. Therefore, b'les brero, we say motzi, we say the bracha alachalas matzah before and eat the matzah earlier. But now really is what we're really being yotze with when we eat the afikoman and when we eat by tzofen. That's according to Tosfos. Rashi and the Rashbam say that no, it's the other way around. Oh no, so they're the ones who say, sorry, they're the ones who say that that the one you're yotze with really is the afikoman, and the only reason you're eating matzah earlier is just because you can't very well eat a lot of matzah and then only afterwards say the bracha alachos matzah. We had a similar svara a few days ago regarding maror, that you can't say that you're going to eat maror earlier in the Seder and make a bracha alachos maror on it and fill up on it, and then later on you're going to eat it for the sake of the mitzvah. That wouldn't be right. So here it's the same thing. On the other hand, Tosfos discusses that no, that the main mitzvah is indeed the matzah you eat at the beginning. The matzah you eat at the end is only the matzah you eat at the end is only as a zecher for the Korban Pesach or the matzah that came with the Korban Pesach. And but you're really yotze mainly with the matzah that you ate for alachelas matzah. A nafgamino in this is how many kezesim do you have to eat for the afikoman? If you say that's where you're being yotze the mitzvah, then you need a kezias for that. if you say that you're only eating it as a zecher for the Korban Pesach and the matzah with it, then maybe you need a kazayis, then you would actually need two kazaysim of it, one for the Pesach and one for the matzah that went with the Pesach, which is why the minhag is to eat two kazaysim by the afikoman if you can help it. But since the mainstream understanding in halacha is like Tosfos' understanding, that really you were already yotze matzah already while you ate alachilas matzah, and now you're only eating it as a zecher, then now the kazaysim that we can use smaller kazaysim, the rabbanon kazaysim, as opposed to for alachilas matzah, we have to use a daraisa. Kazayis. So for alachilas matzah, we have to use a daraisa kazayis, which is about a half a matzah for each kazayis. Here we can use about a third of a matzah for each kazayis. Okay. Anyway, so that's going to be a machloikas that goes throughout this machloikas rishonim. That's going to go throughout the sugya how we understand over here when we talk about ein maftir nachar pesach afikoman. Okay. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel ein maftir nachar matzah afikoman. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us in the name of Shmuel, you also are not allowed to finish with afikoman. Again, a Shmuel's definition of dessert after matzah, not just after the korban pesach, but even after matzah. So the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah. It says ein maftirin achra pesach afikoman achra pesach udloy avalacha matzah maftirin. On the face of it, the Mishnah is saying only after the korban pesach are you not allowed to eat dessert, but after matzah you would be allowed to. The Gemara says no, loy miboya karma. No, what the Mishnah mean, it may mean one of these things needless to say. Loy miboya acha matzah deloy nafesh tamay. Needless to say you can't eat dessert after matzah because matzah doesn't have such a strong taste. And if you eat something else, then it's likely to take away the taste of matzah that you had in your mouth. Aval acha pesach de nafesh tamay. But after eating the korban pesach, where the korban pesach has a strong taste, it's roast meat after all, v'loy matzi avuri, and it's not so easy to get rid of the taste, less lunbo, you would think maybe there's no problem, kamash malan. Therefore, you would say the Mishnah has to tell us that even after the Pesach, but yes, it would include after matzah as well. Okay, we'll go through the sugya over here and end up discussing what the halacha is. But because of this, is we talked the other day about the idea that you're not allowed to drink between the third and fourth kosis, and one reason has to do with this because you don't want to take away the taste of the matzah. At least you're drinking the kosis. Okay, there you have a takana derabanan to drink them, and after all, the drinking is not going to take away so much the taste of food, so therefore it's not so much a problem. But you start drinking other things. One idea is you may fall asleep and not finish the seder, and even after the fourth course, there's an idea you are supposed to stay up all night in principle discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim, like a five chachamim. And then if you drink intoxicating drinks after the fourth cup, then you might fall asleep and not do that. But you also have, so because of that, so the Rif says, but also there's this idea of not taking away the taste of the matzah. So the Rif, in fact, says you shouldn't drink anything else other than water. The minhag is not to even drink water unless you really can't help it. And the Alter Rebbe stresses in Shulchan Aruch that you should be nizher not to drink even water. The Rebbe explains on the Haggadah what the Alter Rebbe means by that also is make sure to drink enough during Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't feel the need to drink after Tzafun. The Rebbe mentions over there, by the way, the Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch over there an expression that if a person does drink or eat after the afikoman, so technically he's not doing anything wrong, but he is over on a minhag Yisrael, and the Alter Rebbe speaks very strongly on that. And in the notes on the Haggadah, the Rebbe says, you see from that how careful you have to be with a minhag Yisrael, even when you're not required to api halacha, because of this phrasing that the Alter Rebbe uses for somebody who is over on it. It's Purish Menatzibur and over al Dibur Chachamim, etc. Okay, so anyway, so in the Gemara over here, Shmuel is saying that the same rule of Ein Maftirin also applies to matzah. And we're saying that the Mishnah doesn't contradict it because the Mishnah is telling us that even the Korban Pesach, which has a stronger taste, you're not allowed to, but how much more so the matzah, where it doesn't even have such a strong taste. So then what's his name of Messiah? Like, can we say that the following Braisa supports what Shmuel says? A Braisa says, Hasuf Gonin, sponge cake, or not really cake, because you can't eat cake on Pesach, but spongy type matzah. Now, you could have, obviously, it could be spongy because it has air holes in it, because it rose, and obviously then it's chametz, there's nothing to talk about. So we're talking about over here, rather, it was made to begin with from a very thin batter And therefore, it's not considered bread lahalacha, v'hadivshanin, or matzah that was fried or made with oil or with oil and honey, and therefore it's not matzah, and therefore it's not lechem oini, it's matzah ashira, v'hiskiritin, and wafers, which is another kind of rich matzah, adam mamalik kresimehen, a person is allowed to fill up a stomach with them on Pesach night, v'vad sheyecho kezayis matzah b'achrona, provided he eats a kezayis of matzah at the end. So the implication is b'achrona ein b'rishon aloi. So we see that only at the end can he eat matzah after all those things, but not at the beginning, which would imply exactly what Shmuel is saying. You're not allowed to eat anything after the matzah that you have to eat for the sake of the mitzvah. So one thing is, by the way, now we learned at the beginning of the perek that you're not allowed to eat a large meal on Erev Pesach because you want to leave room for you want to make sure that you have room for the matzah and maror that you need to eat by the Seder. Tosfos points out over there that when you're within the same meal, there's less of a concern like that because you'll be able to pace yourself. You'll know that you have more coming in the same meal, and you're going to know you're not going to have enough time to digest it. So therefore, you're going to pace yourself and not eat too much, as opposed to you eating a meal a couple of hours before Pesach. You may think, you know what, bro, I'm eating now, but by the time I come to tonight, I'm going to have an appetite again. And you misjudge and you don't end up having an appetite. Here also, this machloikus between the Rashbam and Rashi on the one hand, and Tosfos and other Rishonim on the other one about which matzah you're primarily yotze with also comes in over here. According to Rashi and the Rashbam, we're saying the last matzah that you eat, the matzah of the afikomen, is what you're being yotze with, and we're saying therefore our braisa is saying that you can't eat anything after it. According to Tosfos, that we're talking about that you're mainly yotze with the mitzvah of with the matzah from alachilas matzah. Then what we're talking about over here, Tosfos says. If you have plenty of matzah shmura, then fine. Of course, you should be eating first a nice amount of it and make a bracha on it, and then later on you'll eat afikoman. But if we're talking about over here, let's say a person only has one kezias of shmura matzah, where there the halacha is he's supposed to leave it for the afikoman. So then, therefore, we're saying that he's going to eat these various other kinds of things earlier in the meal, and then eat his shmura matzah only at the end. So anyway, the point is, the Braisa seems to be saying clearly that you could eat these other things before matzah, but not after it, which is what Shmuel is saying, that you can't eat afikoman, you can't eat dessert after matzah. So the Gemara says, Loimi boya kama. No, again, the Braisa might be telling us one of these needless to say things. Loimi boya barishona de ka'ochel lotei oven. Needless to say, when it comes at the beginning that you're allowed to eat these things. You're allowed to eat matzah first, and then these things. The ka'achal oteiavin. At least when you're eating the matzah, which is the mitzvah, not these duvshanin and sufganin and whatever. Then you're eating it with an appetite. Aval ba'achroina duma osil mecha achilaga. So you would be concerned. Maybe at the end he shouldn't be allowed to because he may end up eating the matzah as achilaga. So he may end up overeating on. He may end up being overfull, and then he's not eating the matzah in the proper way, kamash malon, and therefore the braisa would be telling us that not. But not necessarily is the braisa implying that you're not allowed to eat anything after the matzah. Maybe the braisa is saying even if you eat something after the matzah, there's less of a problem with it than eating it before because at least you ate the matzah with an appetite. Okay. So no proof from the Mishnah one way or the other, and no contradiction from the Mishnah, and no proof from the braisa. So the Gemara continues, Mazutra Masni Hochi. Mazutra, on the other hand, learned the discussion as follows, the other way around. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Maftirina Chamatz Afikoman. You could finish off with Afikoman, with dessert, after the matzah. So the Gemara says, "Name a Messiah, ein maftirin achra Pesach afikoman." So now the proofs and the contradictions that we brought before are going to be flipped around, and now we're going to use the Mishnah that before we tried to use as a contradiction from Shmuel is going to be a proof to this version of what Shmuel says, and vice versa with the Braisa. So the Mishnah had said, "Ein maftirin achra Pesach afikoman." You're not allowed to finish off with afikoman with dessert after the Korban Pesach, implying achra Pesach deloy avalach matzah maftirin. So you're not allowed to after the Korban Pesach, but you are allowed to after matzah, and that would prove what Shmuel is saying. And again, the Gemara says it's not necessarily a proof because loy meboya karma. The Mishnah could be saying The Mishnah could be saying it in a way. The Mishnah is telling us the lesser chiddush, the greater chiddush, and we can understand the lesser chiddush from it ourselves. Loy mi boy acha matzah. Needless to say, after matzah, you're not allowed to eat anything. The loy nafish time, because again, matzah doesn't have a very strong taste. So if you eat anything else after it, it's likely to take away the taste. Aval acha pesach emaloy. But you could argue that after the Korban Pesach, maybe you shouldn't eat anything because needless to say, after matzah, you're not allowed to, maybe the Mishnah is implying, because it doesn't have a strong taste. Without the Mishnah telling us, you could have thought that you are, in fact, allowed to eat something after the Korban Pesach, seeing as how it has a strong taste and it's not going to get out of your mouth. Kamash Malan, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that not, because either because you still are going to lose the taste, or because, like we said before, because you have to eat the Korban Pesach ala soiva, and therefore, so here's where Tosfos brings in this thing from the Yerushalmi, that you have to eat it ala soiva, so you don't break bones, and by the Korban Pesach, since it's a young animal, then therefore you're more likely to break bones in it. So for that reason, we're not so concerned about it. For example, when it comes to the Korban Chagiga, with the Chagiga Sabah Aser, the one that you bring together with the Korban Pesach in years, when Erev Pesach is not on Shabbos and when it's Betahara and so forth, precisely for this reason, to eat the Korban Pesach ala Sova, that one we're less concerned about breaking bones, because it's even if we say, we learned earlier in the Masechta, Ben Tema, it said over there, says that you're not allowed, that the rules about the Korban Pesach are similar to the rules of the Chagiga, or the other way around, I should say, the rules of the Chagiga are similar to the rules of the Korban Pesach, and you can't break bones in it either. But even if we say so, fine, but at least an older animal, you're less likely to break bones than you are with an animal within its first year, which is the Korban Pesach. Okay. Anyway, continues the Gemara, Mesvi. So then the Gemara says, I have a contradiction on Shmuel. Again, the first version, this was an attempted proof for Shmuel. Now that we flipped around what Shmuel says, then it becomes a contradiction. We said, Asufganin v'adufshonin v'eskuritin, these various kinds of matzah ashira, or ones that are not considered bread at all, Sufganin, which are made from a very soft batter, so they're not considered bread, and dufshonin, because they're made with honey, so they're matzah ashira, or iskiritin is wafers, is also matzah ashira. Odom amalek kresimehan, we said a person can fill up his stomach with them. As long as he eats a kazayis matzah at the end. So the implication is ba'achrona ain barishona loy. Only at the end is he allowed to do it, but implying that he can't eat the matzah for the mitzvah first and then eat these things afterwards. Why? Apparently because ain maftirin acha matzah afikoman. So the Gemara says, again, loy, not necessarily, loy mi boya kamar. Again, the Braisa might be telling us a needless to say thing. Loy mi boya barishonet ka'ochel atyavin. Needless to say, you can't first eat matzah. And needless to say that you can't first eat matzah and then eat these other things. De'ka'ochel l'te'oven, where at least then you're eating matzah l'te'oven, aval ba'achroina, but when you're eating matzah at the end, you are allowed to do this rather. So needless to say, barishona, you're allowed to eat matzah and then eat these other things afterwards, because at least you're eating the matzah l'te'oven, aval ba'achroina, but if you eat the matzah of mitzvah at the end, where you may end up eating it as a chilagasa, you may end up overeating, and then you're not yotze the mitzvah in the right way. Emalo, you would think that not Kamash Malon, and therefore the Mishnah would be therefore the Braisa would be telling us that not, but not necessarily is the Braisa implying that you cannot eat these sufganin and so forth after matzah. Maybe indeed you could. So the Gemara leaves it open. The Poskim Paskin, like the first version of what Shmuel had said, and Rabbi Yechanan for that matter, that you're not allowed to eat any dessert after the Korban Pesach when it comes to matzah, that was Rabbi Yechanan. When it comes to the Pesach, we had Rabbi Yechanan. When it comes to matzah, we only have Shmuel. So the Poskim Paskin, like the first version of what Shmuel said, because that version is the stomach of the Gemara. That was the original version that the Gemara, that the narrative of the Gemara, Ravina and Ravashi, put in. Afterwards, we had, it was Marzutra's version. So in other words, if we have a choice between the stomach de Gemara's version, the way that most of the Chachamim learned what Shmuel had said, where he said, Ein maftir nachar matzah afikoman, versus Marzutra's, who said that it was a das yachid, who said that Shmuel had said that we can be maftir achar matzah afikoman, and then we go like the first version. So the result is we're not allowed to eat anything after the matzah of Tzafun. Because again, either we say like Tosfos, we were yotze with the mitz with the matzah earlier, and now we're doing it as a zecher for the Korban Pesach, and therefore just like the Korban Pesach or the matzah with it, we don't eat anything else afterwards. Or according to Rashi and the Rashbam, even more than that, we actually yotze the mitzvah of matzah now with the matzah for tzafun, and therefore we can't eat anything after it. So again, drinking. In principle, there are certain drinks that you would be allowed to drink after it. Water, and the Alter Rebbe talks about various certain kinds of flavored waters or whatever. But we try to be machmir not to drink any of those, even water. And therefore, as the Rebbe explains in Agada, we try to be nizher to drink as much as we need to during the meal, so that we don't feel a need to drink afterwards, in order that a person doesn't have to be over al divrei chachamim. Okay, a deeper idea behind it that Eber talks about in some sichas is the idea that when we say to the Ben Chacham, we tell him, Ein Maftirin, Acha Pesach Afikoman. And by the way, one explanation of what that means, why when we say to the Ben Chacham, we tell him, Va'afata Emelech Kehuchas HaPesach, Ein Maftirin, Acha Pesach Afikoman. This is the beginning of the last, these words, Ein Maftirin, Acha Pesach Afikoman, are the beginning of the last Mishnah in Psachim. In our Gemara, it's split up into a couple of different Mishnayas. And we're going to have a next Mishnah now and another one on Kuch Chaf Aleph. But in the Mishnayos, it's all one long Mishnah. So therefore, it means that we teach him all the dinim of the Korban Pesach all the way down to Ein Maftirin Achra Pesach HaFikoman. Anyway, a deeper idea behind it, the Rebbe explains that the idea is that we want to have, that we're saying the taste of the Pesach should remain in our mouths all night. That symbolizes the idea that we should have what we got into our own bodies and into our own neshamas from the message of the Korban Pesach, and everything that it represents should stay with us on an ongoing basis, not just be something that we eat it and then, okay, you know, we go on to something else. It should be something that stays with us. So in the end, then, so the matzah that we eat at that point in the Seder, then, for Tzafon, we call it Afikoman. So now, based on our Gemara over here, one reason is because, in effect, what we're saying is, since we're saying Ein Maftirin Achra Pesach Afikoman, that matzah itself is like our dessert. We're eating that matzah at the end of the meal to symbolize the Korban Pesach and the matzah that comes with it, since it's the last thing we eat. It itself, in effect, is the dessert, and therefore we nickname it Afikoman. The Prima Godim actually brings something interesting from the Lavush, that another idea behind it is we consider that we say that even though usually we would like to eat sweet desserts and everything, but here instead we're eating dry, tasteless matzah, but to us it's as delicious as the mun in the desert. So we call it afikoimun, which to me, afiku means bring out mun. In other words, for us, this matzah that we're going to be eating now by Tzafon is as delicious and delectable as the mun was for the Jewish people in the desert. There's explanations of Chassidus also about afiku man, that it means bring down an ashpa of food into the world, and you have api kabbalah where we break it into five pieces to represent the hey gvuris, etc. But that's the idea why that's the basic idea is why we call that piece of matzah afikoman, and we eat it at that point. Okay. Amar Rava, matzah bismana zedar iso mora derabana. When nowadays, even though we don't have a Korban Pesach, when we eat matzah, that is daraisa. But when we eat murder, that's only derabanan. So the question is, so why is it by murder? What's different? The Pasuk says about the Korban Pesach, al matzah sumerorim yichluhu, you have to eat it together with matzah and murder. Which implies bizman de'ika pesach yesh morer. So only when there's a Korban Pesach do you have to eat morer. Or bizman de'leka pesach leka morer. When there's no Korban Pesach, then there's no morer. In that case, matzah nami yoksiva matzah sumrerim. That same pasuk mentions matzah. So the chiyuv should be only to eat matzah, only when there's a Korban Pesach. No Korban Pesach, no matzah on a daraisa level. So why is Rava saying that matzah is daraisa? The answer is matzah mihadar hoda bekra, because when it comes to matzah, the pasuk does repeat elsewhere and says, but of toichlu matzahs, it says in a different pasuk, in the evening you should eat matzahs without reference to the Korban Pesach. So therefore, that means matzah is an independent chiyuv of its own, independent of the Korban Pesach. Okay, so that's Rava. But Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar echad zeh ve'echad zeh derabanan. Now Rav Acha bar Yaakov disagrees and says that both of them are derabanan. We learned this the other day. We had the discussion about whether a blind person is chayev in the Haggadah. We said that Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov would say that yes, it's the Rabbanan, but the Chachamim made a takana that made their takana parallel to the din daraisa, and therefore just like a blind person would be potter according to him. So he'd be potter from matzah daraisa. So he's also potter from matzah the Rabbanan. But anyway, he holds that matzah is nowadays is also only the Rabbanan. So the question is, in fact, an interesting point, by the way, when the Gemara is bringing this is the pasuk for Rava al matzah sumerer miyichluhu. In fact, that pasuk is by Pesach Sheni. By Pesach Rishon, you have a different expression. It says umatzos tzliyesh umatzos al mererer miyichluhu. So the loshen is actually different over there, and it puts matzah separately, and it says al mererer miyichluhu with murder they should eat it. That hints at what Rava is saying, that matzah is something separate. But anyway, so Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he says no, both matzah and maror are derabanan, because yes, since it says al matzah sumerer miyichluhu, then it means that matzah and maror equally are meant to be together with the korban pesach. So therefore, no korban pesach, no matzah. So the question is elah hakdiv ba'erav teichlu matzahs. Nu, so what does he do with the pasuk ba'erav teichlu matzahs, which seems to show that it's an independent chiyuv? He says, that has to tell us about the case where a person was tamei or on a distant journey and couldn't bring Pesach Rishon, that you need to be told that he still has to eat matzah. You would have thought otherwise. Given the Pesach loy achli matzo umor nami lenechu, since they're not eating a korban Pesach, maybe they shouldn't be required to eat matzah and morah either. Now morah, actually, really, we're just mentioning derech agav, because really morah does go with the korban Pesach according to everybody, but matzo umor is a common combination, so we use that. But really, we're talking about matzah only. So you would think if he doesn't have to eat Pesach, if he can't eat Pesach rather, then maybe he shouldn't be chayev in matzah here. Kamash Malan, therefore, Ba'erav Terchlu Matzahs tells us that he has to eat matzah. But that's what you're talking about in the time of the Beis Mikdash, where there is a Korban Pesach. Other people are bringing a Korban Pesach, and he can't because he's Tomei V'shahoyah B'derech HaChoyka. So therefore, instead, so that we need to be told that he has to eat matzah. But that wouldn't necessarily apply nowadays where nobody is bringing a Korban Pesach, says Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So therefore, according to him, it's only Dirabana. The Rava Amalach. Now, what would Rava answer to you? How would Rava answer that? He would say, "Tomei v'shayi b'derech chayka, like tzarech kra." You don't need a pasuk to tell us that a tomei v'shayi b'derech chayka are chayav to eat matzah. They're like gari ma'orol b'necha. Surely a tomei, or a person who is on derech chayka, is no worse than an orol, a person who doesn't have a bris mila, or ben necha, a person who estranged himself from the Eibishter, who's worshiping avodah zarah, or doing other averus like that. He's a mummer that we say by them that they have to eat matzah. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, kol oral lo yechel. The pasuk says that an oral should not eat it. So the word boy is a mute. Boy ain't an oral. He can't eat it. The korban pesach aval oichel b'matzah umorer, but he could, and in fact, he has to eat matzah and morer. Tosfos says, by the way, that what do we mean? I mean, if we're talking to ben necho over here, he's not going to listen anyway. If we tell him he has to eat matzah, so what does that mean? And there's no reason to say that he should be. No reason to say that we have to talk about whether he's allowed to eat matzah. Of course, he's allowed to eat matzah. There's no kedusha in it. So Tosfos says, let's say, for example, he was a mummer at the time of the shchita of the korban pesach, and then later on he did tshuva. So now he's a full fledged eater. But because he was a mummer and he wasn't registered for the Korban Pesach at the time of Shechita, therefore he can't eat the Korban Pesach. But now he has a mitzvah to eat matzah and maror. And now that he did tshuva and he rejoined us, he will in fact eat matzah and maror. Well, matzah again, because maror is only derabanan. So anyway, so Rava is saying that given that we know that even an orol and a ben necher have to eat matzah, certainly a Tomei v'derech chayka have to. So we don't need a pasuk to tell us that. So therefore, that pasuk is available to teach us that matzah is daraisa even nowadays. The idach, what would Rav Acha bar Yaakov answer to that? He would say ksib b'hayu, ksib b'hayu tzrichi. Sure, you're right. It does say by the Tomei and the derech chayka, but it also says separately by the oral and the ben necher, and we need that because we couldn't learn one from the other. The Rashbam explains, because after all, the oral and the ben necher, they have an advantage over the Tomei and the Derech HaChoka have an advantage over the Oral and the Ben Necher. They, after all, have they can make it up by Pesach Sheni. So therefore, you would think maybe they don't have a mitzvah of eating matzah the first time around. When they do Pesach Sheni, then they'll be Mekayim HaMatzah from Roi Michlu. The Oral and the Ben Necher, if they remain an Oral and they remain a Ben Necher, are not going to be eating Pesach Sheni either. So you would think maybe therefore that we have to therefore they have to eat it the first time. So in other words, so Rashbam says, if we only had one pasuk, then we would say it's talking about the Oral and the Ben Necher. We wouldn't know that the Tomei and the Derech HaChoka have to eat matzah on Pesach night, because we would think they can wait until Pesach Sheni and eat it then. Therefore, you need two different psukim, and then you can't learn one from the other. So therefore, according to him, both psukim are needed to teach us about people who are not able to bring a korban Pesach. One group because they're Tomei and Derech HaChoka, the other one because they're other group because they're Oral and Ben Necher. Neither one is bringing a korban Pesach, and yet we're saying they have to eat matzah. But that doesn't show that you have, that doesn't leave us a pasuk available to teach us that you have to eat matzah when there is no korban Pesach at all. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanya Kavastei de Rava. We learn a Braisa like Rava's understanding. The Braisa says, Sheshes Yamim Teichel Matzes Uva Yema Shvi Atzeres Lashem Alekecha. For 6 days you should eat matzahs, and the seventh day is an Atzeres, is a stoppage of work in honor of Hashem, which is Shvi Shal Pesach. So we see from that. So it's a mashvi reshus. Now, just like that means on the seventh day of Pesach, it's reshus. It doesn't say to eat matzahs. So therefore, in other words, you have that only 6 days would, so far, it would mean that only 6 days are you required to eat matzah. The seventh day it's saying would be reshus, because it doesn't say not teichlu matzahs. So therefore, so mashvi reshus, afsheshes, yom reshus, just like the seventh day Pesach, it's only reshus. You don't have to eat matzah. If you want to eat other kinds of things, you could do that the same way. The previous 6 days is reshus. You don't have to eat matzah only on the Seder night. I mean, you have to eat something. You have to eat some kind of bread on the Yom Tov days because you have to have Lechem Mishnah. But there, it could be technically, it could be matzah Ashira. But to eat matzah that you yotze the mitzvah with, you only need to on the Seder night or the two nights outside Eretz Yisrael. My timer. Now, how do we get that? If it says Vayim Ashvi, then how are we learning the other six from it? Because Habid Dover Shoy B'chlal V'yotzim in Aklal Lalamid. It's like we say in morning davening in the Braisa Rebbe Shmuel, something that was in a certain category and then it was taken out of that category in order to teach us something, in order to teach us a new din. Loy Lalamid Al Atzma Yotza. So it doesn't just teach us about itself. El Lalamid Al Aklal Kula Yotza. It comes out, it's singled out in order to teach us something about the entire category. So that means, in other words, that once we single out the seventh day and say that one doesn't, you don't need to eat matzah, then it means all the other days as well. Yochol af laila harishin reshus. So now you would think even the first night is only a reshus to eat matzah. No, tamad laima al matzah sumerim yechluhu. That is why the pasuk says al matzah sumerim yechluhu, implying that you have a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night, together with the Korban Pesach, but ainli ela bizman she beis mikdash kaim, you would only know when the beis mikdash is standing. Bizman shein beis mikdash kaim minayin. How do we know also when the beis mikdash is destroyed? Tamad lama ba'erev teichlu matzahs. Therefore, a different pasuk says in the evening you should eat matzahs, meaning a kosev kavei chayva. The pasuk establishes it as a chayva that you do have to, that you do have to eat matzah on that first night, but the rest of the nights it's optional. The Baal Amor over here brings up an interesting point. We have the same kind of thing when it comes to Sukkos. Only the first night of Sukkos are we required to eat in the Sukkah. The rest of the days, and technically, I mean, all minigas, we eat and drink everything in the Sukkah, but me'ikar adin, you only have to eat a kezias of bread or mezonos in the Sukkah. Everything else you could live off of fruit and vegetables and shahakal things and whatever for an entire week and not have to eat in the Sukkah. Yet the din is every time you go and eat in the Sukkah, you make a bracha leitcha v'sukkah. Why don't we say every time during the 7 days of Pesach that we eat matzah, we should say the bracha alachilas matzah? And he answers, because when it comes to Pesach, yes, we're saying you could eat anything else during the 7 days. When it comes to Sukkos, it's not just that you can't, that you could eat other things. You also have a mitzvah to sleep in the Sukkah. Okay, we don't sleep in the Sukkah for various reasons. They have the famous sicha about it, about the makifim debina and all, but nevertheless, me'ikar adin, you do have to sleep in the Sukkah. A person can't go 3 days without sleeping. So therefore, the Baal Amor says, so there is more of a chiyuv of sukkah during the 7 days of sukkah. It's not so much mitzad eating, but mitzad sleeping than you have with Pesach, where you could be living an entire week off other things other than matzah. And therefore, you have a reason to make leishav basukkah every time you're sitting in the sukkah, but less so with not so when it comes to matzah. That's the Baal Amor says that. Okay, so the bottom line is the halacha is like Rava, matzah nowadays is the Araisa, murder is the Rabbanon. That is why we have when it comes to the Kshira of a Kazayas for matzah, for the matzah of Moitzi matzah, we have to be machmir and use and to be on the safe side and use the larger possible Shiur Kazayas, which is about half a matzah. Whereas when it comes to murder, we can be makel and consider it to be a little less than that. For matzah, it's about a half for matzah, then it comes out to about an ounce. For murder, it comes out about 2/3 of an ounce to be yotze. So that's an afkamina between matzah and murder, where between where the matzah nowadays is daraisa and murder derabanan. Okay, Mishnah says yoshnu miktsasan. If some of the people fell asleep, yechelu, then they can still continue eating when they wake up. But kulan lo yechelu. But if all of them fell asleep, they cannot continue eating. Now, Rashi and the Rashbam explain that the problem is once they all fell asleep, then they were masiach das. So now when they wake up, and if they want to continue eating, then it would be considered like eating in two different places. And we just said before, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in two different places. And therefore, so we say that that applies to the Korban Pesach, and that applies even midrabanan, and it applies also to the, it also applies to the matzah nowadays, because the matzah is a zecher to the Korban Pesach. So that's one reason. The Rashbam says that actually another possible reason you might have thought to say it is because of the, what we said before, Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikoman, and we said the halacha is like Shmuel's first version, that Ein Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikoman, and the idea would be that if you fall asleep and then you wake up, then it's considered like a new meal because you were Masiach Das, but the Rashbam says not so, because then the Gemara should have used that as a question on the opinion that we said before, Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikoman. The fact that it didn't shows that it's not because of that. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who learn that way, that it is because you were Masiach Das, and now when you eat again, it's going to be considered like eating a new meal. I think the Baal HaMorah says that. And then a third idea that Ravid says, it's not so much that, it's more that if you fell asleep and you were Masiach Das, now you're going to need to wash again. And say another hamotzi. So that's what we're saying, that you can't do that. So it's not, we're saying that you're not allowed to really. It's, we're saying that it would be considered that you'd have to start a new meal in order to do that. And then it sort of relates to Ein Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikoman, because you're not allowed to eat anything, and now it would be considered like a new meal because you were Masiach Das. But according to that, in any case, if only some people fell asleep, then we say that you have the rest of the group over there. So therefore, then you don't have that Hesach Das. So then you don't have the problem of two places, according to Rashi and the Rashbam. You don't have the problem of Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach or after a Matzah Afikoman, and you don't have the problem of having to wash again. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says if they were only drowsing, then they can still eat. Nirdimu lo yechelu, but if they fell completely asleep, then they can't eat. The Rashbam explains we're referring back to the Reisha, which means that Rabbi Yossi is being machmir over the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama is saying if some of them fell asleep, then still when they wake up, they can continue eating. But Rabbi Yossi would be saying only if they were dozing. But if they fell completely asleep, then not. On the other hand, you have Rishonim, including the Ravid, who learn that Rabbi Yossi is being makel against the Tanakhama. He's saying that even if all of them were drowsy, even if all of them were half asleep, as long as they're not completely asleep, you don't have that Hesach Hadas. That would be a problem where now it's considered that you're eating a new meal after the matzah. But if all of them fell asleep, so in other words, it comes out, according to the Rashbam and other Rishonim who follow him, it would mean that the Rabbi Yossi would be saying if all of them were drowsing, then already it would be also too, and for sure if all of them fell asleep. And according to the Ravid and the Rosh and others like him, it would mean the other way around. Even if all of them were drowsing, then still it's allowed. They're still allowed to continue afterwards because not all of them fell completely asleep. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Pesach ha-chatzos metameh aseidayim. The meat of the Korban Pesach after chatzos makes a person's hands tameh, because after chatzos it's noiser. Well, we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, why it becomes noiser at chatzos. Is it daraisa or is it derabanan? So after chatzos though, midrabanan noiser is metame a person's hands for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. A pigul v'hanoiser metame nasaydaim, in general, pigul and noiser are metame a person's hands for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Okay. So we said, Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, emin esnamnu yechelu nudimu lo yechelu. Rabbi Yossi says that if they were drowsing, then they were allowed to eat afterwards when they wake up. But if they fell completely asleep, then not. Hechidamin esnamnim. What is the definition for this purpose of nisnamnim, that they're drowsing? Amravashi, it means they're asleep, but not completely asleep. They're awake, but not completely awake. For example, an example of that, if you call him, he'll be, while he's drowsing over there, he'll be able to answer. But he won't be able to answer for something that requires thought. But if they remind him of something, he'll be able to remember it. So the Rashbam gives an example. Let's say, for example, if they ask him, where'd you put such and such? He may not remember, because he's too tired, he's too sleepy. But if you tell him, did you put this in such and such a place? Yeah, I did put it there. Or no, I didn't put it there. So he'll be able to that extent. Then that's considered nisnam. So the Gemara gives an example. Abaya have a Yosef kamei de Rabba. Abaya was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rabba. Chozer de konimnim. He saw that Rabba was drowsing. Omole menim konayim mar. So he tells him, Rebbe, you're sleeping. And then when you wake up, you're not going to be able to continue eating the, you're not going to be able to continue eating the afikoman. So Rabbi tells him, no, I'm only drowsing with none. So we see in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is saying, and pretty much all the poskim paskim like Rabbi Yossi, that only that if they're drowsing, they're allowed to eat. Only if they fell completely asleep are they not allowed to eat. So the Rashbam brings from this story a proof for his understanding that Rabbi Yossi is coming to be that Rabbi Yossi is coming to be machmir on the Tanakhama. That we're saying that when the Tanakhama had said that if some of them fall asleep, then they're allowed to continue eating afterwards. Rabbi Yossi is saying only if those some people were not only it was some people, but also they were only drowsing. Because after all, here you have Abaya and Rabba. Abaya wasn't drowsing. Only Rabba was, and still Rabba has to explain that I'm only drowsing, implying that if he had been completely asleep, then he'd be also to continue eating. So that means, in other words, that Rabbi Yossi is saying you need both. It needs to be that the people who are asleep are only a little bit asleep, only drowsing, and that they're only part of the group. But if you had some people are completely asleep, then they'd be also to eat. And if it was the whole group was drowsing, then also not. So this story would be a proof for that. The Rishonim, like the Raivad, who learned the other way around, who say that it means that Rabbi Yossi is being makel on the Tanakhama and saying even if all of them are drowsing, it's fine. They would understand a couple of possibilities. One is that this story did happen on Pesach night, but Abaya wasn't there during the Magen Mishnah. I think on the Rambam explains it this way, that what it would mean is Abaya was not sitting together with Rabba by the Seder. He made his own Seder. Afterwards, he came over to serve Rabba, to help him with the Seder, maybe to watch him do his Seder, like people use, like Bochurim used to come to the Rebbe's Sedarim. Whatever. And then he noticed that Rabba was sleeping, and then he tells him this. So then, in other words, it would mean, so Rabba was in fact the only participant by his Seder, and if he had been completely asleep, then yeah, he would be also to continue eating. That's one way. The other way of understanding, which Tosfos says over here, is that Bechlal, this story may not have even happened Pesach night. There's a couple of different possibilities. One is that the Gemara is just using it in order to show the din, in order to illustrate this idea of drowsing rather than being completely asleep, but not necessarily that it happened Pesach night. And another possibility, Tosfos says, is maybe it happened on the night before fast. We know that the night before fast, a person is allowed to eat until Alos HaShachar, but if they fall asleep, then they're not allowed to eat anymore unless they make a tnai ahead of time. So like this, so the night before fast, then it happened that Abaya was by Rabba, and he saw that Rabba is falling asleep, and he comments on that, and in that case, that would mean you're not allowed to eat anymore before the fast, and Rabba tells him, no, I wasn't completely asleep, I was only dozing. So you have a few different ways of explaining. The nafkamina then would be, again, if people are falling asleep during the Seder, are they allowed to continue eating? So that the accepted halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that nisnamnu, then you're allowed to eat, and it's only if all of them fall asleep. If only some people are falling asleep, then it's still fine. They can still eventually wake up and rejoin the Seder. Okay. Continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and finish off the Masechta tomorrow.